The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now that you are speaking plainly and not using figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Alleluia, Christ is arisen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I pray the Lord strengthen you in your God-given vocation, a compassionate heart to console and care for the young and the needy, and a heart willing to serve. Mothers know a lot about the topic of conversation in today's gospel lesson. And that topic is prayer. Mothers are always the greatest prayer warriors for whatever reason. Men, not so much. Maybe that's due to our instinctual, "if something's broke, I'll fix it" attitude. And that creating some difficulty when we ask God to fix something in our lives. The following example can help shed some light on this difference between men and women. At Lowe's, when I need to find just one thing, do you think that I ask someone to help me find it? Of course not. I'm too stubborn and I'd rather pace the store for 20 minutes to try and find it. Until eventually I give up. Meanwhile, Rachel goes off and asks someone where that one thing was. The word "ask" is mentioned several times in the gospel lesson. And that's what prayer is. It's asking. It's asking your Heavenly Father who loves and cares for you to help you with whatever your need is. Jesus encourages us to ask the Father for things in his name. But as human beings, I'm sure we question why. Why do we need to pray? Does it really fix anything anyway? Jesus invites us to prayer because of what he says in verse 33. "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus invites you to prayer because the world has tribulations. A tribulation is anything that afflicts, harasses, or oppresses you. And the idea that John is getting across in his gospel is that tribulations attempt to lead you astray from repentance, faith, and forgiveness. And there are many tribulations in Scripture that we could use as examples. There's one from the Old Testament reading this morning. We heard of the fiery serpents who bit the Israelite people. They were sent by God because they sinned against the Lord by trusting in the provisions they received in Egyptian slavery rather than in the provisions which the Lord gave them in the wilderness. But in their tribulation, being bitten by snakes, the people prayed. They repented of their sin and asked the Lord that he would take away the serpents. The Lord answered their prayer for their good. But God let the tribulation remain. That is, the fiery snakes. So that they would continue to trust in God for all things. Yet out of God's mercy for them, he also gave them a source of healing. Moses fashioned a bronze snake on a pole. When they were bitten by the snakes, they were instructed to look at the bronze serpent for healing. And when they looked at the snake on the pole, God healed them. Out of his mercy, he spared their life. But also out of his mercy, God let the snakes remain so that the Israelites always knew in whom they could trust for healing. That is the God of Israel, not the Egyptians. We also experience tribulations. First of all, there are the tribulations we've experienced this last year as a world with the COVID-19 pandemic. And then there's been social unrest, riots, looting, protests, racism. There have been places on the internet which sow division, social media, news outlets, television shows, movies. There's been divisions among friends and families. And this division has caused us to observe, experience, and feel anger. And it's gotten to the point where it's safe to say that anger is the number one virtue in America. But as Christians, it's important to keep in mind James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Anger only destroys. It cannot produce godliness, even if it defends the truth. Now, then there are the tribulations that we find ourselves in as individuals. Whether it be some sort of mental illness like depression or anxiety. Your tribulation could be your stress at work. It could be job loss or an inability to provide for your daily needs. Your tribulation could be unrest within your families and your marriages. Or it could be that you struggle with a particular sin. Or that living out the Christian life and Christian virtues is an extremely difficult task for you. One that many Christians find difficult relates to the destruction of anger. James says in our epistle lesson today, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Some just can't bite their tongue. Some may be quick to speak, scream, type, text, tweet, or post. This is a tribulation of its own. Because when you use the world's weapons to fight the world, you never win. But wherever your source of tribulation, the pain from enduring the trial can lead people to have hardened and embittered hearts. Eventually, you lose sight of hope. God allows these tribulations to test Christians whether the gospel is worth the risk of their life or not. Jesus invites you to prayer, to take heart, for Christ has overcome the world. The only begotten Son of God, incarnated into flesh to endure the tribulations of the world. He underwent disease, sickness, the anger of man, injustice, loneliness from his friends, the temptation to destroy his enemies in his anger. He was mocked, spit upon, laughed at. Yet even in these tribulations leading up to his hour of death, he was not afflicted, harassed, or oppressed to the point of unfaithfulness. He remained faithful to his Father in heaven, and he remained faithful to you. Jesus passed the test which the afflictions of the world gave. He overcame the world and its trials. He remained in the true faith to his Father in heaven. Thus, the Father has not abandoned his Son amidst his trials and tribulations. And that's why Jesus mentions in verse 32 of our text, the disciples were scattered off after the Garden of Gethsemane and after the crucifixion. They abandoned Jesus. Yet the Father did not abandon his Son. The Father was with the Son throughout his tribulations. And on account of his Son's faithfulness, the Father granted his Son with victory over the grave, defeating the world, death, and the devil. And this is good news for you. Because on account of this, Jesus invites you to prayer so that in Christ you may have peace. As we learned earlier this Easter season, peace flows from the wounds of Jesus. Here in John, Jesus says, in me, you may have peace. That is to say, when we are in Christ, we have peace. We are brought into Christ at our baptisms. Romans 6, verse 3 says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" When we are brought into Jesus through the waters of holy baptism, we are made children of the Heavenly Father. We are a child of the Heavenly Father because of who we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we have peace. And because we are in Christ, we have peace. And the Father will never abandon you in your tribulations. He promises to be with you, even in your sufferings. Certainly, we have peace with God. We can always count on that because of the sacrifice of Jesus. But what about having peace amid the world's trials? It certainly seems easier said than done. But this is where the Lord invites us to call upon God as our true Father. Since through baptism we are brought into Christ and made a child of the Heavenly Father, we receive a Father who promises to hear our even most mundane requests. Jesus promises, "Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Prayer is meant to make yourself vulnerable to the Lord. It's not a time for hiding what you actually want from God. Because there's nothing to be embarrassed or worried about in front of your Heavenly Father, because He's already forgiven and reconciled you in Christ. So we can pray for silly or mundane things, like a good test, a good grade on a test, or a win at your baseball game, or even that your kid might not bust their head open on the playground. If that's what you want and love, don't be ashamed. But to not be mistaken, we don't pray for sin or things that go against Scripture. In moments of temptation, we pray the Lord change and sanctify us that we may not continue on that path of sin. But to bring all this back to our trials and tribulations. In those moments of tribulation, we pray to our Heavenly Father, who happens to be the creator of the universe and mighty in power. We pray and ask that He'd help us or help those for whom we pray. And having relieved the burden of responsibility off of our shoulders and onto the shoulders of our Heavenly Father, we have peace. We have peace because someone more capable than us can deal with our tribulations. And with that in mind, we can endure our tribulations, trusting that God will care for us and work all things to the good of those who love Him. We have peace and trust that God is caring for our needs in ways that are better than we could have ever asked for. Finally, we go forth as Luther describes in the bulletin's welcome statement. We go forth through our trials and tribulations with Christ's victory over cross and grave, being bold and cheerful in the face of tribulation. Even though the world's chaotic, tribulations encircle us, we have peace and comfort and strength in our hearts, because our hearts are in Christ, our Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.